is News Radio 620 WTMJ. Next scheduled news at the bottom of the hour. Bulletins at once.
I have a dream.
Now, deep undercover.
One day.
This is Radio Free Milwaukee.
This nation will rise up.
On 620 WTMJ.
Live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Yeah.
TMJ's Charlie Sykes.
The eagle has landed.
It's 10:07. You're listening to News Radio 620 WTMJ. I'm Charlie Sykes. I think people can look back on 2004 as one of those tipping point years where you had a new media really come into its own. And for example, the fall of Dan Rather, what happened with CBS, is impossible to tell that story. It's impossible to tell that story without talking about blogs and bloggers. Now, blog is, I know it's a weird word, it means web log. What happened with Dan Rather was, moments after they made that report, after they came up on September 8th, moments after they came out with that smear on the president, you had weblogs all over the country beginning to share information. Were the documents fake? Were they forged? Are there problems with them? And immediately it spread like wildfire. In fact, Time magazine named the blog that broke that story first, Powerline Blog, named it the blog of the year. But my guess is, though, that most people still don't quite get what blogs are. So one of the things I've been thinking about doing this for some time is to invite in some of the Wisconsin bloggers, because it is starting to become a bigger deal here in Wisconsin. So I made a list of the blogs that I look at on a daily basis. And we said, would you like to come in and talk about why you do what you do and where you think this is going? So joining me in studio is Owen from Boots and Sabres, Kevin from Lakeshore Laments, Sean from American Mind, and joining me on the line, we're going to get to them in just a moment, is it Patrick from BrainPost?
It's Kevin.
Kevin from BrainPost.
Yeah, you can just call me BrainPost because Kevin's from Lakeshore Laments.
And Patrick from My View of the World, is that right?
That's right, Charlie.
Okay, I want to make sure that I have everybody straight. Because even though I read your stuff every day, I've never met you guys. And you usually, you know, I think of you not in terms of the names, but in terms of, so I'm going to start with you, Owen. For people always ask me, okay, you talk about weblogs. What makes a blog? What makes a blog as opposed to just something else on the internet?
Well, good morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Sure.
What makes it something different is really hard to nail down. I mean, it differentiates itself from your standard media, because really it's just regular guys and gals out there talking about things that interest them. And I think that it's referred to as the democratization of the news media. Honestly, I don't know why people read it.
I'll tell you why you read it, because you know, one thing is it is the democratization, because there are so many different perspectives and different things that you can't, I mean, there's so much stuff out there, there's so much stuff to read that you can't follow it all. So for each individual blog, you have an individual personality, and people—if people are familiar with it—they know that you know, sometimes it's a quick hit where you'll link to another story with a quick comment. Sometimes there'll be an essay or an editorial or a column, and you know, having come from an era where the newspaper will designate two or three people to be their, you know, opinion gurus, now quite literally there are dozens of people in Wisconsin who are, will respond to, say, the governor's speech, or respond to a Journal Sentinel editorial, or will point out an inconsistency. And yours, now, how long have you been doing this at Boots and Sabres? You're kind of one of the old men here, aren't you?
Well, not quite as old, no. But I've been blogging since May of 2003, so I'm coming up on my second year. American Mind over there has come just past his fifth, so he's actually the old man in the room. I started doing, and perhaps that's why I should back up a little bit. Why I read blogs is because I sat around doing the same thing a lot of people do. I look at the news, I read the news, and I want to respond to it. I'm frustrated with the perspective that we get from the mainstream media, and I started reading blogs to get views from regular people. And another thing you see out there is you see a lot of different voices, a lot of different personalities responding to the same issue, and can really get a better feel for how the public is responding and how sitting in a newsroom with perhaps an agenda.
Yeah, well, Sean, since you are the senior guy here, so you've been doing this for years before anybody noticed that there was such a thing as a blog.
Yeah, I'm the old man.
You know, and for, I mean, for years it was below the radar screen.
Yeah, it was.
And now with the Rather story, it's become a big deal. Tell me exactly, okay, why do you do what you do, and how do you do it?
I love writing, and so I want an outlet for people to read me. So I decided, I found back in '99, I found these scattered bits of weblogs all over the place, and some of them were writing, mostly it was about tech and technology, and people were writing a little bit of political stuff, and I thought, hey, I can do that too. It's my own little version of talk radio.
Yeah, well, in some ways, I've heard that before, people say that. Now, so if somebody goes to American Mind, what are they going to see you writing about?
I write about anything that catches my mind. So, say, for today, I was trying to find something important to make me seem important this morning, and the first thing I saw was the Mike Sherman thing about him being out as GM. So I was interested. I've got to write about it.
Yeah. Now when you strike a balance between local and national stuff? Because I look at your stuff, and often you'll be commenting on a national story, and then sometimes you'll bring up something that is going on locally. Do you have a balance there, what you're looking for?
I'm trying to get it's mostly national, but I'm trying to get more local. When I was doing this for the past 5 years, I thought I was probably the only Wisconsin political webloggers, so I figured nobody around here is reading my stuff, so I'm going to go to the national audience.
Yeah. Well, who does read this stuff?
Oh, gosh, I got a lot of people. I've got people from Minnesota. I've got all over the country, and I've gathered with people across the country, and it's just shocking to realize that people from all over the country are actually reading what you're writing. It's great.
Kevin, I want to ask you, Lakeshore Laments. You used to do it with your brother. You know, now you do it on
your own. He was there only a week, so it was kind of just, you know, an invite. Does he want to come along? My younger brother is a U.S. Marine, and I just figured, well, let's get the, you know, military aspect on how things are going. And then he kind of just decided, this is your playground, so, you know, enjoy your sandbox.
You know, I think it was Sean who said that it's his sort of version, his online version of a talk show. I know that Owen has said something similar to that in the past. Is that the way you think of your blog?
In a way, but I also kind of view it as my own little, response to the news. You could say it's its own little version of talk radio. I kind of say it as my own personal letters to the editor.
Mm-hmm.
As in, like, you know, okay, you know, this is great that you're talking about this, but this is how I feel about mm-hmm. it. And it's kind of also this, you know, little area where you try and you try and you try to, you know, send a letter to the editor as, you know, an individual person to, say, an editorial board, and they're like, you know, maybe one out of ten is actually going to
right.
see print. So it was, you know, more or less my opportunity to do what I wanted to do. I did have some minor journalism background. I mean, I was a reporter at my high school newspaper, and then I had an opinion column for a year and a half at college. So
yeah, no, reading all of these one of the things I do is there are the sources of the news out there, and then there's the play-by-play on the news, and then there's the commentary on the news, and that's what you guys provide. You know, you'll have a different and what I find striking is there'll be insights on a lot of these on the weblogs that it never occurs to any of the mainstream pundits to make the connecting the dots. In fact, Owen, just the other day, I mentioned on the show, you had done a flagrant act of journalism. You'd noticed that there were three letters to the editor in the Journal Sentinel, that all of which defended the teachers' union's monopoly, the no bid contracts for the health insurance, and you did a little bit of Google searching and determined that all three of them were written by union officials.
Right, the power of Google.
Yeah, the power of Google. You know, so much for the voice of the. The voice of the people. So, Patrick, how long have you been doing your website?
Oh, I'm the rookie here. I've only been blogging for about 3 months now.
Okay, now how did you get into it? What made you decide you wanted to do it? Because you're actually one of the more enthusiastic of the bloggers, aren't you?
I try. well, my friends got sick of me talking about politics and current events all the time, so I needed a place to get my word out there. So I started the blog. I've been reading for a while a lot of the blogs, a lot of these guys, And I decided the time was good to start, and I'd give it a try. And my first day, Owen noticed me, and it's gone uphill from there.
Yeah, I actually think that it was probably Owen at Boots and Sabres. This is the way it works, that I was reading Boots and Sabres. He makes a reference, a link to something you said, then I look at it, and then suddenly people begin. I mean, the thing about the weblogs is that you're not in competition with each other, are you? You actually kind of work together. It's a sort of a critical mass. It's almost like, you know, linked together network. Is that fair to put that way, Sean?
I think that works better because, well, speaking for myself, we all have day jobs. We're doing this as a hobby. So it's, and anytime you get more than one person working on various subjects, you're going to get a lot of different perspectives and a whole lot more content.
Okay, so Kevin from BrainPost, the obvious question that the mainstream media types will have is, okay, you know, what are your qualifications? Why should anybody pay attention to you, considering that you do not have the kind of editors and the kind of background that we in the mainstream media have?
Yeah, that question would come up, but all you have to do is point to Dan Rather, I guess, for your answer there. You can have all the journalistic credentials you want, but that doesn't mean you're going to present a unbiased opinion.
Now, you make no secret that you have a bias, that you have a point of view.
I do. Yep. And I'm unabashed conservative, living in the Madison area, so I have plenty to blog about.
Poor guy.
So you are in the belly of the beast.
That's right.
Now, okay, so for people who are, how did you get into this in the first place? How does somebody, because it used to be, and this is not that long ago, that the only people that had a kind of forum, you would have to go to the mainstream media. You'd have to go to the editors of the Journal or the Old Sentinel or the Chicago Tribune. And, you know, if you were one of a million people who could be a columnist, you'd have a forum. Or if you got a talk show, you had a forum. Now, you have all of these people out there who generally would never have been a factor, never would have been able to comment on politics. Now, essentially, you're able to self-publish and people are linking to you. So how did you get into this in the first place? What did you do?
I was interested because I've heard of the bloggers online through radio programs and that and the like, and found Blogspot, and Blogspot's run by Google, and it's a very simple process for setting up your blog. You just have to pick out your backgrounds and that type of thing, and it's just if you know a little HTML, you're in good shape, and you can start within seconds, really.
Yeah. Are you guys techno geeks?
I certainly am not.
No?
I've been accused of that.
You have, Patrick. You've been accused of being a techno geek.
Yeah, a little bit.
What about you, Sean? Are you?
I used to be. Back in college, I was doing all that whiz-bang stuff. Now I'm just focusing my writing.
See, I'm not at all, and I have a weblog. It's not maybe as sophisticated as some of yours, because I don't have to do a lot of stuff, because JS Online people do most of the technical stuff for me. But it really is a very, very simple technology, you know, and the ability to link. So let me, who are you, if you were talking to, if we were having a seminar on, okay, I still don't get this weblog thing, who are the best blogs? Where do you start on a given day? If you wanted to say, okay, this is what a weblog is, this is how I go about forming it, where would you, how would you answer, Kevin?
It's like weblog 101 kind of thing?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, the first weblog I ever saw was Andrew Sullivan's.
Mm-hmm.
And that basically kind of spawned, because I saw him doing all the post kind of commentary during the election 2000.
Mm-hmm.
It was when he was on nearly nightly, I think. And it would always say AndrewSullivan.com. So I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. Check out the site. And he's a good one. The biggest you could kind of say is kind of clearinghouse for other blogs, so we could look at other ones, would be probably Instapundit.
Mm-hmm. Instapundit, yep.
Yeah.
.com.
That's
like Glenn Reynolds, run by a law professor down in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. And he has just countless links, and he separates them by, you know, is this guy connected to main media? Is this guy just on his own? And things like that. So, I mean, those two, I would say, kind of would be, I guess, a good one. Otherwise, ones would be Powerline. If you're of the liberal mentality, probably Daily Kos. But he's kind of crazy. And
those are the ones that would be. I would put Little Green Footballs in there as well.
Charles.
Any others, Owen, that you would mention that you look at every single day?
As far as looking at every single day, I read yours, but
well, thank you.
when you're up on it,
yeah.
other than that,
actually, Owen's the guy, when I don't post frequently enough, he will email me and say, you know, you're getting kind of lazy. It's kind of that little poke. And the one thing I have realized, because when I have the weblogs, I put them, of course, in the favorites, the fastest way to get dropped from the favorites is not to post for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Because if somebody, there's a couple of guys around here who've had pretty good weblogs who just have sort of drifted off, and there's just too much stuff and too little time to be constantly refreshing them.
Right, and that's something I find is our blog roll is actually larger than I would like it to be. It's a little unwieldy, but it also doesn't have all the links that I actually read. So
now, define what a blog roll is.
A blog roll is a section of your blog where you have links to other blogs. So in a sense, it's a roll of other blogs that I read, and people categorize them in different ways. We have a rather different categorization that is too difficult to explain. But, you know, as far as going back to some other blogs that I read every day, I read, it really depends. There are bloggers that have different things that they like, different things they write about. And as things hit the news, if there are issues that come up that are in that field, I will go hit those blogs. For instance, there's Kim Dutois out of Texas. He's a firearms guy. If there's a firearm news, he's the place to go to see what's going on with that. There's Polyblog. There's Belmont Club. The USS Clueless used to be a great one, and he actually went off. He just writes about Japanese animation now, so I don't know what happened there.
Well, I'll tell you why I wanted to talk to you guys, because there are so many of these national blogs, and because they all link to one another, there does, after a certain point, they all hit the same kinds of things. What is distinctive about Boots and Sabres, Lakeshore, Lament's American Mind, Brain Post, and My View of the World is that you talk about the local stuff. You'll talk about Jim Doyle. You'll talk about what's going on with why E. Michael McCann has not brought charges in the tire slashing. You'll talk about OIC and all of those things. You know, and it is a much more lively discussion than you get from the mainstream media. So in fact, I got to take a break now for commercial purposes. When I come back, I want to talk about the difference between. Let's talk about where the mainstream media is right now with the change in the technology, the fall. You know what happened with CBS, and we're going to talk about that. And again, we're joined by Owen from Boots and Sabres, Kevin from Lakeshore Lament, Sean from the American Mind, Kevin from Brain Post, and Patrick from My View of the World. I have links to all of them on my weblog, which is Sykes Writes. So if you want to check out what we're talking about, you can do that during the break. You're listening to News Radio 620 WTMJ.
WTMJ's News 20 WTMJ.
Say something.
Charlie Sykes.
It's 10:29. You're listening to News Radio 620 WTMJ. So let's talk about the rise of the weblog. You know, one of the things I've noticed is the mainstream media still, after about 15 years, still doesn't understand why talk radio is a success. They still don't quite get it. So if it's taken them this long to figure out talk radio, how long is it going to take them to figure out why the weblog has exploded? Where do you see them? Let's talk about the relationship between the blog, the bloggers, and the mainstream media, Owen. Oh, I'm sorry, I got to turn on your microphone. Here. Speaking of techno geeks.
There we go. Yeah. Am I on air?
Yes.
All right. I think it's an interesting relationship. I mean, bloggers are, you know, we comment a lot on current events and new stuff that are coming out in the news. So we rely a lot on the mainstream media to see what's going on and to have something to talk about. On the other side of it, we are, as it has been seen this year, somewhat of a threat to the mainstream media, just because I think, you know, the whole facade of having this objective media is really falling down. People are seeing through it, and with bloggers, I mean, you can go see what my biases are. I'm perfectly clear about them, and as I reflect on news stories, you can see, you know, you take where I'm coming from into account when you're reading my commentary on it.
Sean,
just got a loss for words. No, my point is, I try to be. I'm not objective. I try to be honest, and I think that's the key point of my weblog, is I've got an opinion. I'm going to state it. I'm going to link to as many sites as I can to back it up, and you can go click on it, the power of the link, and you can make your own decision.
Yeah, see, that's the key. I mean, and I think you made this point, Kevin, before about the letter to the editor. In the old days, the mainstream media, gave you its perspective, told you its point of view, and, if you had a different point of view or you wanted to respond or correct or comment on that, you could, write a letter to the editor, send it in. You had about a 1 in, 500 chance of it being published.
Exactly.
Now, you have all of these different voices. If there is an inaccuracy or an unfairness, one or two people can come up with it. The power of the link, as you described it, one of the websites can have it, can link to the others, and suddenly you have a check and a balance to the mainstream media. It's not just the fact that there are other points of views, but there are these checks and balances that just didn't exist in the past.
And that's something I've seen. I know in our comments, we have a number of liberal readers who keep me honest, and they will challenge me on points I make and make me defend myself when I make points. And beyond that, I think you really see if there's an ethos to the blogosphere, it's the being upfront and honest and really backing up what you say. And if you throw a comment out there or an argument out there that you can't support, some other blogger is going to find you and rip you to shreds.
Yeah. Kevin and Patrick, any comments? I know you guys are online. It's a little harder.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You have the public out there who's going to keep you honest, and we're keeping mainstream media honest. We'll get emails on occasion correcting grammar, for that matter, not to mention ideas.
And it's instantaneous. There's not a lag time on it. I thought you saw that really played out during the 2000 campaign, where in the past, if the mainstream media wanted to ignore a story, it stayed ignored. If the mainstream media wanted to push a certain point of view, that was really the only thing you saw, with the exception of the alternative media. And, for example, the Swift Boat vets, some of the problems that John Kerry had, which were ignored by the mainstream media, the internet was, and the bloggers were all over it, and were able to keep that story alive until finally it became too big to ignore. You're listening to News Radio 620 WTMJ. I'm Charlie Sykes. We're still talking about the phenomenon of the bloggers and the relationship to the mainstream media. Again, we're going to continue right after the news.
News Radio 620 WTMJ.
It's 10:37. You're listening to News Radio 620 WTMJ. I'm Charlie Sykes, joined live in the studio by some of... there are other local bloggers. I know that you're the guys that I actually read. And I got an email from somebody who said, "Are there any female bloggers?" Actually, there's a very prominent woman from Madison who's a law professor.
I know. I'm shocked you didn't give her the invite.
That's my problem of doing these things last minute. I don't mean to leave her out. This does seem to be still sort of a male dominated profession. I want to ask, remind people who we have. We have Owen from Boots and Sabres, Kevin from Lakeshore Laments, Sean from The American Mind, Patrick from, it's down here, Web Nuts. I know it has, I know it has my view of the world, and Kevin from Brain Post. Any of these, by the way, if you go to my website, you can easily get links to them on Sykes Writes. And what I do is I have these posted on my my favorite. One of the questions that people are going to ask about, you guys make any money on this?
Millions.
Anybody make anything on this? Every once in a while, you mentioned Andrew Sullivan. They have a tip jar there.
Well, he has actually Donation Week.
Yeah.
In which you can go and donate anything from like 2 cents to as much as you want in a PayPal account.
Yeah.
And pay him, and it keeps the site going. Basically, that's for his operating service fees and just keeping his server going.
Yeah, but nobody makes any money on this.
Not that I'm aware of.
I think someone maybe like Wonkette.
Yeah, Wonkette might make cash.
Right. Yeah, Wonkette, but she's sort of in a class by herself. Sort of a weird one. You guys, Kevin or Patrick, you make any money on this?
No.
So it's safe to say that you guys are the ultimate amateurs. Now, do you remember what was it, one of the CBS producers, when they were in denial after the September 8th report, and this was buzzing all over the weblog, people were passing around and linking to information showing that the Dan Rather report was bogus. One of the producers said, why should we pay attention to these guys? Weblog is written by guys sitting in their living room in their pajamas. writing. So, I mean, is that...
Thank you, Jonathan Klein.
He really did.
Yeah, well, that's a power line.
It was, and the webloggers sort of embraced that. You know, the guys in pajamas.
Well, Charlie, you need to be honest with your listeners and disclose that we are in our pajamas right now.
Well, I did ask you to come down. Not everybody here did, actually. That's the joy of radio, to be able to do this.
Anyone actually see when he said that statement, where he was?
Where was he?
He was on the O'Reilly Factor. Tony Snow is filling in. And he's on against, I think, James Taranto, who writes Best of the Web for opinionjournal.com. And he just says, you know, basically, the whole fact checkers at 60 Minutes versus, you know, these amateurs and their guys in their pajamas. And I'm just like, I can't believe you just said this. And, I mean, compared to, like, I mean, there are guys who are, you know, lawyers and, you know, engineers and countless, you know, actual professionals who do write these things and know what they're talking about.
And other journalists.
Exactly.
Yeah.
People like that.
Exactly. I don't want to put you guys on the spot because I know some of you don't have access to it. But, you know, for example, if Patrick, if somebody were to click onto My View of the World and look at what you've been writing about for the past, three, four, 5 days, what would they find?
Everything from sports, little techno geek stuff, a lot of information on the... tire slashing, no charging.
You're obsessed with the tire slashing story, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Every Tuesday, at least.
Yeah, every Tuesday, in case people have forgotten, on this particular website, you have the number of days saying, this is my weekly reminder to E. Michael McCann that we still haven't filed charges. And that's one of the ways that I get reminded to mention it now and then. Owen,
you're just being picked up by others now. So, you know, Republican Party of Wisconsin finally is getting a little more vocal, and even the Journal Sentinel has posted a few articles on it.
Yeah, they ran a rather strong a story today and ran a relatively strong editorial on the issue as well. So obviously there's some of the heat. Kevin from BrainPost, if somebody was checking in with you, what would you have done over the last 4 or 5 days?
Yeah, mostly news from Madison primarily, but I also like to blog on things that are happening in Iraq with the military, things that are happening in the religious community where rights are being taken away, that type of thing that doesn't get the mainstream press. I try and as well link to certain other blogs that are blogging on other topics as well, but I try and stay away from certain subjects that everybody's blogging on, like the Dan Rather incident. I think that's fine. It needs to be explored, but I really don't think I can add a whole lot to that. I'd rather go find a little bit more obscure story.
I'm always torn on that because on something like the Dan Rather story, there's so much information. There's so much you can't actually keep up except perhaps try to identify, you know, the most trenchant, clearest discussion of it. But, you know, I do think it's kind of the strength of the blogs to pick out something that, you know, I'm always thinking when I'm preparing for this show, you know, what did I miss? What might be an interesting angle on a story or something that you're not going to see from, in some of the mainstream sites? Now, for example, a lot of you guys have already done commentary on the governor's speech last night.
I'm not one of them yet. Sorry, Charlie.
I know that Owen was live blogging on it.
Right. I live blogged it and then wrote a short commentary after it that relatively weak because, frankly, I was sick of the topic. So I was ready to move on.
Yeah, well, Jim Doyle's speech wasn't all that exciting. Let me take another break and then we're going to finish up here. You're listening to News. In fact, you know what? Let's open up the phone lines because maybe people have some questions for blogging. And again, I'm doing this because my sense is that everybody's by this point heard of bloggers, but that they don't necessarily know what it is. And even if they do, they're not aware of how much is going on in this particular area. That not only do the commentators of the Journal Sentinel not have a monopoly in terms of the mainstream media any longer, they don't have a monopoly in terms of commentary, comment, and deciding what people are interested in. 799-1234, 799-1620. U.S. cellular calls are free, Star TMJ, and throughout the Midwest on the Norlite telecommunications toll-free line, 1-800-877-1620. If you have a comment or a question, War, Owen from Boots and Sabres, Kevin from Lakeshore Laments, Sean from The American Mind, Kevin from Brain Post, or Patrick from My View of the World. 799-1234, 799-1620.
When news...
It's 10:49. You're listening to News Radio 620 WTMJ. I'm Charlie Sykes. You may have heard about the weblogs, but this was a big year. The last year was a big year. There was also a big year locally. I have a sense, though, that this is still the beginning. I think it's going to be very big. I think the Wisconsin scene is, as often on some of these things, we may be slightly behind the curve. But I think that in the 2006 election, by the 2006 election, I think the blogs are going to play the same role locally and statewide that they did nationally in 2004. Any thought about that, Sean?
I think they will. I think you're going to have a lot of the campaigns will be hiring their own webloggers, and I'm fully more than welcome to take applications. So.
Same
well,
here.
One of the things, though, about... I know that some of the campaigns had what they call weblogs, which are basically just sort of running commentaries. What strikes me about the successful blogs, though, is that they have a real personality. There's a certain irreverence. They have a specific voice. They are not just a running, a running whatever. It's, and they will link. There's a kind of an art form to it that I'm not sure that I can describe. The sort of commentary on the news with a certain amount of tood, the mixture of linking to really good stuff. As well as some pithy commentary. You seem to take champing at the bit here.
I guess. I mean, we were having a small little conversation off the air. I mean, we can be a bit... bloggers are, in a sense, we're both highly self-deprecating in the sense that we're like, okay, we're this small little island out there.
Right.
Versus the fact that we know we're our small little island, so we can say whatever we want and have whatever kind of attitude we want with what we say. I mean, one of the things I always kind of, have as a running joke at my blog is every time I type in the words Governor Jim Doyle, I then add the phrase a wholly owned subsidiary of WEAC.
Mm-hmm.
After every time I type the man's name, just in that form. If I write Jim Doyle, it's nothing. If I write Governor Doyle, it's nothing. It's just Governor Jim Doyle, a wholly owned subsidiary of WEAC, and then continue on with whatever I was saying.
Well, that's the strength and the weakness, though. I mean, you have no regulations.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about FCC. You can say anything you want. You can actually say a lot more than I can say here on the air. You have no editors. You have no boss who you have to say, hey, I'm thinking of ripping so-and-so today on the blog. So, and you have nobody that can fire you because you own yourself. So you are the ultimate independent voice. On the other hand, that's also the weakness, which means that there are people out there who could just throw all kinds of stuff up against the wall. So... for the people in the mainstream media who are, probably getting in the sniff mode right now, isn't this a danger to democracy that, in fact, folks like you have access to something as powerful as the Internet?
Well, and while that's true, I think that, anybody can go out there and post whatever they want about whatever they want. If you get out there and actually get out and reading and participating in the blogosphere, what you'll find is that people who are weak writers, people who have weak arguments, people who are just nasty, they tend to fall off their traffic because they may get a splash of coverage at some event, but over time people see that it's just not a credible site to read and they stop reading it. It's a very rigorous meritocracy out there.
Kevin from Brain Post, Patrick from My View of the World, do you want to weigh in on that?
Well, when we say something, we have to either back it up or like one of these guys here will rip you to shreds, because the other bloggers kind of police ourselves.
We're always looking for a good fisking.
Or we can even ignore.
Yes.
The other thing is, you don't want to establish your blog with those types of blogs as well. So you're not going to want to link to those other blogs, and generally their audience isn't going to be interested in yours either.
It is the purest form of the marketplace, because you're right. There are so many out there that you don't have the time to read the stuff that is lousy, and you don't want to be associated with the ones that are irresponsible. I mean, if somebody started going off on some... libelous rant or some extremist rant, and you link to them, you would be, in effect, guilt by association. So what happens is that everybody sort of backs off from them. So there is a kind of self-policing that goes on.
Sure.
Oh, definitely.
That's right. And there's the idea that you have to back up your rants if you do go on one.
Mm-hmm.
If you just spew vulgarity on a web page. Well, there's plenty of that out there, but it doesn't make for an interesting read.
Yeah, and one of the
coming back.
Yeah.
One of the things I've really enjoyed about reading blogs, and it's actually interesting, no offense in the room here, but as I meet bloggers, is a lot of them are shockingly ordinary in their regular lives. And really,
yeah.
As you go out and you realize as you're walking down the street, you see people, and you know, that guy could have a great idea. That guy could have great perspective. You know, that girl could really have a wonderful essay in her about a particular topic. And there are things that it really, to me, it is really brought forth a sort of, I guess, faith in my common man. I'm not nearly as cynical about the electorate as I used to be.
Well, you know, that's a really good point. And again, and that's not meant to be disparaging. I mean, you guys are just ordinary guys, aren't you?
Yeah.
There is that, and I guess this goes back to the mainstream media's problem, that sort of elitist sneer that there's us and then there's the public out there that is not that sophisticated. I think one of the things we're finding by the democratization of the media, that, and this is one thing I realized when I started doing this radio show, that the stereotype is, well, you have a bunch of, you know, angry white men who aren't very well educated and aren't very thoughtful, and they realize, you know what? People are actually a lot more interested and a lot more thoughtful than you give them credit for, and it is amazing what happens when you know, suddenly, because of technology, they have an outlet.
I would agree. As a matter of fact, I think that, I'm not sure, I think Chris from Dumbocrats is also a woman, but I'm not sure. She's got a pretty good blog, as well as Darn Floor here in Wisconsin. There's a lot of new blogs out there that are up and coming and really well written.
Yeah, well, email me some of that stuff a little bit later, so because I am always looking for, you know, and you know, as part of what you're talking about this meritocracy, you know, I think of myself as kind of a prime audience, obviously, for this, and I can only handle a certain number at a time. So, you know, if a blogger is good, it's going to make my favorites list, and all you guys are on the favorites list, just so you know. But if something is not good, it's going to be off, and it's going to be off very, very quickly. So this is going to be a transition. I mean, it could be 2 years from now that the blog will be a huge factor in Wisconsin politics, but it'll all be different from all of us. It'll be a whole new generation. And I do think there probably will be a generation when people realize, hey, I can do this too.
And I saw some of that. I don't know about the other guys. Some in this last election cycle. I know some of the a couple of the U.S. Senate candidates, the GOP candidates, put an ad on our site. And I went out and did some debate commentary that got picked up by other sources. And I think that I think it's just the beginning trickle. And I think I've started seeing it from other sites as well. And Ann Althaus over there is starting to get a lot of coverage in the main media. Covering Wisconsin issues.
Well, let me put it this way. Every year I do a listing of the best weblogs of the year. 2000, this past year's list is, there's nobody on it from 2003. This is a very fluid medium. People can come out of nowhere. They can also vanish.
Exactly. Hey, listen, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it very much, all you guys. I'd urge our listeners to check this out. Boots and Sabers, Lakeshore Laments, The American Mind, Brain Post, and My View of the World. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you.
News Radio 620 WTMJ. When a client